Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which has already been read. That thing, it's been around for a long time. Our knowledge about exactly how it happens is surprisingly recent. But that thing, it's been around for a long time. First Adam, then Eve, and then Moses tells us that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Adam and Eve, the first parents, Cain, the first child, father, mother, children, and that thing has been around for a long time. Knowledge. Our knowledge about exactly how that thing happens, life, is relatively new, says Edward Dolnick in his new book, The Seeds of Life. He says it wasn't until about the year 1900, after hundreds and thousands of failed hypotheses, that we finally figured that one out. He says planets were easy. Plants were hard. The genesis of human life, he says, proved hardest of all. But now we know. And the pendulum on that thing may have swung to TMI and too early. Cain was not born in the Garden of Eden. Cain was born outside of it. His parents, as you know, had been placed in paradise and given the run of the place and told to cultivate the earth. That's an interesting word. Cultivate the planet. But you also know that sin happened, and so they were booted from the garden. Sin happened, and when sin happened, a lot of other things became kind of collateral damage. Things like peace, plenty. And after the fall, the beginning of that phrase, if you have your health, you have everything. Because in paradise, they did have everything, including their health, not so much these days. The genesis of human life may have been a tough nut to crack, and it was. A lot of that takes place unseen. But death and the cause of death has always been both seen and known. And we know and have known for a long time that people can, and they do, die, and they can, and they do die from a lot of things. The other thing Adam and Eve and everybody since has known is that once you're living, we really don't want to die. We really don't want to die. That's a very natural thing, and we fight death to the death. I think it was probably this text I was preaching on back in the 90s when one of my little old ladies shocked me on the way out. She said to me, "Pastor, I can't believe you said that word from the pulpit." What word is that? Cancer. Why'd you have to say that from the pulpit? We don't want to hear that. And that sort of summarizes how a lot of people feel about that. I don't even want to hear that word. It's a nasty thing, and I get that. It's not a feel-good word, it is a cancer. And Jairus, how do you suppose Jairus felt about his daughter being, it says, at the point of death? How do you suppose he felt about that? You know, I'm all about sustainability. We burn wood, we grow a lot of our own food, we drive a Prius, we used to drive two of them, but it seemed like a little bit of a sustainability overkill. Besides, our son needed a good car. It's a very Christian thing to be sustainable. We might even say that God's the one who invented sustainability. We've talked about this closed system being, in a very general way, sustainable. Some of the specifics, God puts seeds here. Seeds, and then the things that make seeds grow. And the animals interact in a very natural and a very sustainable way. Some of the animals eat plants. Some of them eat each other. And it works. I read an article in National Great Geographic a couple years ago, waiting in the dentist's office. They're letting the wolves back. I'm not sure we want wolves around here, but in Yellowstone and Glacier, they found that the wolves were a good thing. And to summarize that very quickly, the elk are scared of the wolves. So they'll go up in the trees and in the mountains a little bit higher. When the wolves weren't there, they weren't scared of the wolves. So they'd go down to the rivers and streams and kind of muddy things up and just really mess things up. Sometimes, and for various reasons, animals go extinct. And we humans have always selected animals to do our bidding. That's part of it. And to help us sustain ourselves and to live. And as more of us fill the earth, we use these brains that God has given us and the things he's put in the ground and the like to continue to sustain those numbers. Very sustainable. So it specifically says about this woman that she had, quote, suffered much under many doctors and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. And can you imagine such a thing happening? Suffered much under many doctors, spent all her money, and she was worse than when she started off. Just imagine. And so it also says specifically that she had heard of Jesus. He had done a lot of healing in Galilee, then went across the sea last week. Now he's back, and it further specifically says that she was thinking. She was thinking, if I touch his garments, if I just touch his garments, I shall be made well. That's the hero you want, isn't it? That's the guy you want. I'll touch his garments and I'll be made well. There's a lot of touching going on here, some of it deliberate, some of it the product of being in a crowd. And everybody wants to get close to the healer you want. Probably a lot of personal space being invaded here. It says that her desire was to be made whole. Made whole, and that's the thing about disease, isn't it? When you're sick, you're just not right. You're just not right, and perhaps disease is the most intrusive invasion there is of our personal space. The woman wants to be made whole. That's the thing about disease, isn't it? Things you maybe can't even see. Things you maybe can't even see are within you. They're within you, they're fighting against you, attacking your body. And things will not be right with the world while this thing is going on. The woman wants to be made whole, and she picked the right healer. Touching him, she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Meanwhile, Jairus' little girl died, and not all funerals are the same. The funeral for the aged saint who has been wanting God to take me home for quite some time and maybe wondering why it's taking so long, that funeral can be even a happy funeral. Nobody is happy at the funeral of this little girl who had her whole life ahead of her, and it says there was tumult, people weeping and wailing, and that was genuine and heartfelt at the death of this 12-year-old girl. Tumult, weeping, wailing, replaced shortly after Jesus got there with laughter. It says they laughed at him. And the verb is in the imperfect tense. They kept it up. They can't stop laughing. About what? Jesus had come into the room. He spoke. And he said to them, why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they thought that was pretty funny. Couldn't stop laughing. He doesn't say any words to these laughers, who likely did not include the girl's father and mother, who with Jesus and Peter, James, and John entered into that most private of personal space, into their home. And now Jesus speaks. He speaks, and once again we note the power inherent in the word of God. Little girl, arise. And just like that, she did just that. There's a reason why Jesus is the healer you want. When he tells his little girl to arise, she does. First time, every time. When he tells that dead man to come out of the tomb, Lazarus comes out of the tomb. First time, every time. When he wants to heal whatever, he heals whatever. And she got up and walked. And get that girl something to eat. Dying and rising again makes you hungry. As for the man and his wife, they were immediately overcome with amazement. The Greek word there is ecstasy, not the controlled substance, but a naturally occurring emotion that is very pleasant to feel. Ecstasy. It's the feeling you get when you have a child who is at the end, holding on, and then was dead, but now she's alive, walking, eating, also made whole. That's the feeling the parents got. Sustainable. Sustainable. Life here is sustainable, but it's a battle. It's a battle. When God told Adam that the ground was cursed because of his sin, well, there was no need for Roundup in paradise. But we're not in paradise, and it's a battle. And then there are the bugs, and we live by the sweat of our brows. I heard a report that there was a pastor observed sweating north of Calamus on Wednesday. I know those guys, I kind of doubt it. It's a battle, but it's sustainable. So what happens when you break a bone? What happens when you scrape your knee? And what happens when you cut yourself in food prep or in the garage? Remember, St. Augustine talked about miracles that happen every day. They're so common that we don't even think about them. The one he talks about, you plant grape seeds. You get grapes. And you get take those grapes and you get wine from those grapes that came from the grape seed. And God does things like that all the time. He does that with corn, beans, tomatoes, potatoes, and people will sometimes speak of the miracle of a new baby being born. God created us so that when a bone breaks, you know what? It heals. You skin your knee, it's probably going to scab up, and in no time at all, you don't even remember, and that cut will heal. But there may be a scar there. And sometimes I burned my wrist here over 40 years ago. And there was a mark there. And for 40 years, I've been watching my body slowly but surely healing up that little thing there. Different color. 40 years my body's been working on that. It's almost gone. And those are things we can see. What you can't see with the naked eye is the ongoing battle being waged in things like the air we breathe, the water we drink, within our very bodies. Viruses and bacteria attack, antibodies fight against them, but not against the good bacteria. Alexander Fleming accidentally discovered penicillin in 1928. That's a big deal. Good weapon in fighting against bacteria and other things. We use our brains to develop weapons against those enemies, fight diseases, and we discover others that are natural, that God has put here to be used by us. And doctors and medical people, as we know, can often help us. They can often help us. We know a guy who was born with a heart defect back in the 80s. He was going to need heart surgery. And not all pediatric cardiology surgeons are the same. and the kid's parents wanted the best. So a guy at church had a brother who was in medical school who was working with the best at that particular surgery. That's the one you want. That's the doctor you want. His name was Dr. Barrett, and he was at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor. And we now know for a certainty that he is the best because Dr. Barrett ended up in Iowa City, which is where the best seem to end up, which is why, and I'll tell you, as well as I've told my wife, just take me right to Iowa City. Don't stop anywhere. Just take me there, right straight to Iowa City. It's why Jairus was where Jairus was. His daughter was sick, about to die, and not all healers are the same. He calls her his little girl. She was 12 and she's sick at the end, holding at the end. Looks like the end of her earthly life is near. She's holding on for dear life. It's what we do. It's who we are. To Jesus, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And in response to that direct question from this ruler, Jesus went with him. And he was delayed for a while by the woman he had to heal, and then he moves on. And he heals the little girl and raises her from the dead. Because of the way that God made things, life on this planet is indeed very sustainable. And when he told Adam and Eve, later on Noah and his wife, to be fruitful and to fill the earth, well, we've pretty much done that, haven't we? Life does go on for generation after generation. Mothers and fathers and children, followed by more of the same, been going on for a long time. It's very sustainable. And God continues also, like he did here this morning in those two cases, miraculously heal people. And like the grapes, we don't even notice it. Sometimes he uses doctors to whom he has given brains, and we've made a lot of progress in medical care. Sometimes he uses those naturally occurring substances, natural healing, and sometimes, and I've seen this, and every doctor has seen this, sometimes he just goes ahead and heals somebody. Just goes ahead and heals them. No doctors, no medicine involved. They're not supposed to be healed. He just goes ahead and heals them. And all the time he heals those broken bones, scrapes, cuts, healing dread diseases. He can even heal from cancer, sometimes using doctors, sometimes not. He heals, he restores, until he doesn't. And then when he doesn't, you might even find yourself asking, why? Why? And if you find yourself asking that, reference Job, who from last week we noted never did know the cause of his suffering. And if you would have told Job that you're suffering because Satan came to God and they had a conversation, and God kind of bragged about you being faithful, and Satan said, well, why don't you take stuff away from him and see what happens now? If you would have told Job that, we don't know God's ways, and that remembers kind of what God told Job. And the crux of our problem is that after the fall, individual life can be sustained only for so long. And we've known that for a long time, haven't we? And we've known for a long time, haven't we, how this thing will end. We know that this thing will end, and yet we fight against it to the death. Even Christians who know what's going to happen after that fight against it to the death. And it comes by things like accident, disease, call it natural causes, and a particular life is no longer sustainable. We fight against it, and we pray, and we fight to the death against death, and then death wins. But not really. Not really. St. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? He's been talking about the resurrection. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who defeated death, whose victory becomes your victory. He is the first fruits, Paul says. Many are going to follow him into life. All who believe in him and are baptized are going to follow him into eternal life. And Paul says in Thessalonians, but we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep, and so we shall be always with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Indeed, we know a lot today about how life comes to be than we knew 100 years ago. And the more we know, I think the more we wonder at the gift of life at the hand of the giver of life. And we continue to marvel, as we have for generations marveled, at the eternal life given in the simple washing of water and the word. And then we're sustained on this heavenly food, the word in this heavenly food, all the days of our lives. And that's kind of a miracle, isn't it? Kind of a miracle. We don't even much think about it. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And he has taken us dead people and made us alive in Christ. Yet one more thing that happens all the time. Yet one more thing we don't think much about. And that thing ends with Job getting it all back. After it was all said and done, after all that conversation, Job got it all back, and then some. He got it all back, and then some. And what a wonderful picture of heaven, getting it all back, and then some. Whatever mankind lost in the fall, we're going to get it back in paradise, in heaven, and then some. Whatever you have lost here, and we've all lost something, some of us have lost a lot, you're going to get it back in heaven, and then some, and then some. Given back to you, and then some. And in heaven, it's all going to be sustainable, infinitely sustainable. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.